Welcome to Pop Pantheon, the podcast where we completely overanalyze all of your favorite pop stars and then rank them in the official Pop Pantheon. This is your host, DJ Louis XIV, and I want to remind you to please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it now. We're on social media at Pop Pantheon Pod. I'm at DJ Louiexiv. Merch is at poppantheonpod.com. Our Patreon, which is at patreon.com/poppantheon. We just published our live show from this Monday night in Brooklyn at the Bell House, where myself, Brittany Spanos, Hunter Harris, and Nora Princiati, we're talking all things Taylor, from the Tortured Poets Department to the anthology to all of the Taylor mania that's going on right now. It was such an incredible night. I want to thank everybody that came out to that. Oh my God, that was so great. And if you didn't get a ticket because it was sold out or you weren't in the New York area, you can now listen to that episode on our Patreon channel. And we also have weekly bonus episodes of the show there, plus so many more perks. So that's at patreon.com/poppantheon, or you can subscribe to the audio only within the Apple Podcasts app. Upcoming parties, Gorgeous Gorgeous is happening in New York on May 10th, and it's happening in LA on May 18th. Tickets for both of those are available in the show notes of this episode. So hoping to see everybody at Gorgeous Gorgeous. And yeah, that's it for housekeeping from me today. This week, I invited our friend of the show, Michael Cragg, who some of our patrons might be familiar with, to talk about a new piece he wrote for The Guardian about the state of the music video, which is in serious decline at the moment. Views are down, budgets are down. The music video feels less essential and less important to the discourse than it's ever seemed in modern times since the advent of MTV. And Michael wrote an incredible and exhaustive piece about just why that might be and what the future of the music video is. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Michael Cragg about the current state of music videos. All right, so I'm here with Michael Cragg, who is a music writer for The Guardian and Observer and author of the great book, Reach for the Stars. Michael, welcome back. Welcome to the main feed, back to the show. Our patrons are familiar with you, but great to see you again.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here again.
I'm excited to talk to you about this because you recently wrote a piece in The Guardian that's called This is an Art Form and We're Losing It. Is the Music Video Dying? And it's interesting because it's something I had been thinking a lot about. I think any casual pop observer has noticed the declining, I guess, import, but also quality of music videos over recent times. It just feels like a part of pop music culture that used to just be taken for granted, which was like especially big stars, but everyone from big stars down to up and coming artists utilizing the music video as a fundamental part of their career, of launching new songs, of launching album eras, of getting attention. And it just feels like less and less are these moments where a music video arrives that really captures attention for longer than 2 seconds or expands outside of the artist's core fan base. And in some instances, it just feels like when you think about even like Beyonce, for example, like it's being abandoned as a useful technique for promoting music altogether. So when I saw your piece, it really resonated with me. And I was really happy that someone smarter and who had put more research into this than me had actually helped kind of codify some of these ideas. So I really loved the piece. And I guess my first question for you is, what made you want to write this piece? Like, what were you seeing in the landscape right now that sort of generated this idea for you?
Well, I'm quite a big fan of stats, as most pop fans sort of are. And I like just sort of casually looking on YouTube and being like, oh, I wonder how this video is doing. Or, you know, success is quite hard to sort of quantify now. Like, charts are sort of a bit all over the place. And I was like, maybe videos are still a way of sort of seeing how things are going. And I was sort of quite shocked that, you know, Ariana Grande's Yes And was sort of just passing like 50 million and that had been out for like a month or two. And Dua Lipa with sort of Houdini and Training Season, neither was sort of catching fire in a way that maybe you would come to expect when we were being bombarded with sort of figures of like videos crossing 100 million views in like 24 hours. And that was only like 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe, yeah, like BTS were doing it and Blackpink were doing it and Taylor would sort of do it every so often. And then I thought, well, how's Taylor's stuff doing? Because obviously she is, you know, pop music at the moment, for good or for bad. So I looked at like Anti-Hero and it was, you know, not bad, but it was like 197 million or whatever, which isn't what you would expect from her a few years ago. And I was never like, oh, well, this is proving that they're flops, because clearly they weren't. It was just interesting to me as to like why the music video wasn't hitting in the same way. So I was coming at it purely from that point of view at first. And then I was like, well, actually, do people talk about music videos? Do I talk about them? Do I even watch them as much as I used to? Is my attention span so rubbish that I can't even muster the energy to sit through like a 4-minute video, or not even 4 minutes, like 2.5 minutes? So that's why I was like, ooh. And then I had a bit of a rant about it in the Guardian office, and my editor, who I work with sometimes, was like, just go and write it and speak to some people. So, yeah.
Well, I'm really glad you did, because I think one of the most interesting things that you're highlighting for us here is that there's really no correlation between the decline in the popularity of the music video and the song's success. Like, as you mentioned, Yes And, but even to a greater extent, Antihero, as your first two examples you brought up, are both really big songs. Number one hits in America, I believe also number one hits in the UK. Antihero in particular, like one of the biggest smashes of Taylor Swift's like later period career. So what we're seeing is like, or maybe I can ask you this as a question, is it like, in the past, was there a direct correlation, or was there more of a direct correlation between a music video's success and a song's success? Like, if a song, let's say Bad Romance as a great example of a peak or one of the peak era music videos that like we all remember, it was such a water cooler moment, everybody was watching it, you know, and then that song also is obviously on its own, both related to and independent from the music video, like a signature hit for Lady Gaga, so it feels like there's a lot of correlation, or the music video played a big role in feeding the success and vice versa. So is that what you're sort of seeing right now, is that like what this sort of data is showing, is that there really is less and less of a correlation between having a successful music video and having a successful single, essentially?
Yeah, because the streams are huge. You know, Antihero is, I don't know, like over a billion streams just on Spotify alone. So there's some sort of disconnect here between maybe how people consuming music, maybe people, you know, just aren't as interested in seeing the visual side of what the song is saying. Or obviously the streams are much more casual, potentially. You know, you are listening to a playlist while you're doing something else, and so that song is just on that playlist, and so you're hearing it and you're consuming it, maybe. But to consume a video, you need to be potentially much more engaged. You need to sort of seek it out a lot more. You need to like look for it, because you're not seeing it. I used to see music videos in like bars or a restaurant. You know, if I was sat down, they would just have MTV on, or they would have a music video on, and that would start a conversation about music videos. And everyone was like, oh, you know, of course I've seen Black or White by Michael Jackson. I remember watching that premiere live and it being like this huge moment. And obviously everything has changed so much since then, but now I don't know where those places are. You sort of seek them out quite separately. It feels like you're all just sort of looking at your separate internet, and there isn't perhaps this collective thing. So yeah, it would be, if I had seen those like 50 million figures on a song on YouTube 10 years ago, I would say that that song did not chart at number one in America, or number two here, or wherever across the world. I would be like, oh, that's a sort of indie band who have done quite well for 50 million views. Not like that's one of the most talked about pop stars on the planet. So yeah, there's something happening where potentially we're just not that interested in the visual. I mean, I also think it's interesting because like Taylor Swift, Cruel Summer didn't have a video.
Right.
I guess because it wasn't meant to be a single. We're in this world where like songs can just become singles and become things. They're not brought to our attention by a music video like they used to be potentially. So Taylor Swift's old song can suddenly become like another number one hit and there's no music video. And Drake can just decide as and when he wants to do a music video. So it's not leading in the way that it was, I guess, is what I'm saying. It used to be, to me, the Bad Romance song is the video as well.
Right.
The two are in my head, like when I think about that song. And I don't know if I could even picture what the Antihero video looks like.
Yeah, I mean, as we're sitting here talking right now, I'm like trying to think about the last time that like I really loved a music video and found it like completely essential. Like it's been
like the Lil Nas X example that I put in the
piece.
That's
really the one that was
everyone seemed to be talking about that. And that was for multiple different reasons. The Montero song, and you know, the controversy was brilliant, and that's what a music video sort of used to do, and it felt quite old school. Call me when you want, call me when you need, call me out by your name, I'll be on the way like, oh. And then with the J. Christ example, it was like a few years later, it was sort of crickets, you know, nothing happened. But very similar in the rollout.
Yes, and in a way, as you were sort of insinuating, even the hullabaloo around the Lil Nas X video felt like a throwback, like even when it was happening. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it felt like he was tapping into something that felt uncommon in the contemporary moment. So I guess my question is, obviously what you're insinuating here is some of this has to do with the decline of monoculture, generally speaking. Like it's harder to sort of gather everyone around a single item, no matter what it is. But I wonder, like, if you could taxonomize a little bit for us, like in your research, what are some of the broader reasons that you think the music video is in decline as a essential part of a pop star sort of rollout, a single rollout? Because of course we all have the cliche in our head of like, we don't watch TV anymore, MTV is not a thing, but that's been true for a really long time. I mean, that's been true for the last 15 years at least, if not longer, right? That MTV hasn't been like a central organizing principle for music. So there was a period obviously around the late aughts and the early 2010s where it felt like the music video was as vital as ever. And again, we were talking about this period with Lady Gaga, with Katy Perry, and you know, that big boom of pop stars in that period. It felt like they were utilizing mostly YouTube, I guess, and the sort of recreating, not recreating MTV, but using YouTube as a place to sort of like centralize where people watched music videos. And it felt like music videos were, as you mentioned, totally essential. Like, I agree with you. Bad Romance to me is as much the song as it is that music video. You know, same could be said for California Girls or any number of music videos from that time period. So in thinking about this and in writing your piece, like what were some of the main reasons that came across your desk in terms of why? Like, why are music videos in decline in this way, do you think?
Well, I mean, I almost didn't want this to be the answer because it feels so sort of boring and obvious, but people were like, it's TikTok. It's not just TikTok, but it's like attention span stuff, which I feel like everyone is a bit sort of bored of hearing, but it's sort of true. It must be true because, you know, our attention spans are like through the floor. We're being bombarded with all this like visual stimulus about everything. And within that, pop stars are having to sort of focus on that more than they are a long form music video because it's much more instant. It's shorter. So the idea is, you know, you can get a short, sharp shock of like who you are and get it across to your fans directly. And it can just be done in like your house or, you know, as you're like on the loo or whatever. And you don't need to spend so much money on it. And it's blah, blah, blah. And so I feel like that has really been pushed as a narrative. And then even in a sort of simple way, people cannot be pointed in one singular direction in a way that they used to be able to. Like someone says in the piece, you're competing with Netflix and Amazon Prime and all the TV shows and also like the internet in general and TikTok and also just like your own phone. There's so much on your phone to distract you. And sometimes when you're in that zone of like looking at all these short clips, a music video seems like a Marvel film, you know, seems like 3 hours. It's like, do I want to like go onto YouTube and then trawl through like all these unofficial clips or like a lyric video? And actually, am I clicking even on the right video? Like I've sat watching what I thought was the video and I was like, hang on, is this the lyric video? Like what's going on here? And so it's fallen foul, I think, to a lot of competition in the like visual world. And YouTube themselves have sort of switched from perhaps pushing videos to pushing their own short form stuff because everyone's sort of competing for this TikTok thing and stories and all of that sort of stuff. So I think it's, lots of those things. And potentially more dramatically for the music industry is maybe the pop stars themselves or the music and the visual worlds that these pop stars are creating are maybe not as interesting as they used to be. And that's maybe a bigger issue, that there isn't this sort of incredible pop star making these humongous, like sort of slightly batshit crazy music videos that grab people's attention. And that's maybe a little bit more worrying.
That's the thing that's the most interesting part of it to me, is like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg question about it? Because it's like, yes, I can understand how like here we are now, people don't have like, our attention spans are diminished because of social media. Like that all adds up to me. But the part of it that feels confusing to me is just like the sort of dearth of important feeling or innovative or great feeling music videos. Like it just has felt like, and you know, you and I grew up through lots of past periods of pre-social media pop music where it just felt like you were constantly getting Essential music videos all the time. Like when I think about growing up during the TRL era and like watching TRL every day, it was like, I mean, every single hit that I remember from that era, pretty much I also remember the music video. And like, not just because I think some of that is a function of the fact that we were consuming them via TRL. So like maybe the music videos just became indelible just by dint of that being like how we listened and consumed music at that time. And it's not anymore. But it did feel like music videos were generally, and I don't want to sound like grandpa curmudgeon, but it did feel like music videos were more inventive, more essential just in terms of their art, not just in terms of like essential in a business plan, but like it felt like artists were making music videos or were in a, or maybe it was just because of the centralized importance of them, the thought that was going into them, who was directing them, the ideas that were being put into them, the way that artists translated their personas into music videos just felt like constantly exciting. And like the thing that's a little bit confusing to me is like, yes, obviously a lot of these artists are having like scaled back budgets for music videos, and that's like impacting probably their ability to like make a slew of videos that are as iconic as like, let's say, Britney's iconic run of music videos in the late 90s and early 2000s. Baby, don't you wanna dance up on me? But I have to imagine that artists like Taylor Swift get at whatever budget they want for a music video. I mean, Taylor Swift, no one's saying no to Taylor Swift's, like, you know, ask for money for anything she wants to do. And yet it doesn't feel like she's come up with an essential music video in a very long time. Or Ariana, like another really popular artist. Again, like, Yes And video was like fine to me, you know what I mean? Like We Can't Be Friends video, like I enjoyed watching it once, but I'm not having that reaction that I used to have, that I had with Montero, great example of a recent, you know, time that this did occur, where I'm like, damn, like I want to rewatch that, I want to see that over and over again. Like there's so much to talk about here. That's the part of it that I'm having trouble kind of putting together in my head. Like why aren't the artists that do have the capacity to be making exciting, is it like, is the form itself played out, you know, like is that kind of part of the issue?
I mean, it is interesting. Taylor is a good example of someone that could do it, but she isn't necessarily, like, I guess the sort of 1989 Reputation era was the one where like videos became just as important, and the talking points, and, you know, Look What You Made Me Do and all of that sort of stuff. And then after that, she sort of shifted lanes slightly. And now I feel like even with this album, it's more like we are just so obsessed with sort of lyrics, and maybe in some way it's like we don't want to get in the way of the lyrics. We don't want to sort of divert people's attention from all these Easter eggs that she's dropping and all these like narratives that she's weaving and all of that sort of stuff. So the video, I watched a tiny bit of that new video, and it seemed to be just really heavy-handed in the way that it was like, these are the concepts of the record, but to sort of get more of that, you need to just go and listen to the record. Like, I'm not going to sort of turn this into like a visually stimulating moment here. And, you know, I think Beyonce has a lot to answer for, just in terms of like, you know, I love her, obsessed, but she is someone that could like bring the music video in this way that we're talking about to the forefront again. Like, where are the videos? We know that she's filmed videos, like bits of it are sort of leaking. These albums are like, they deserve music videos. And I think for someone to sort of not do that at the moment, or to have a different plan with them, is not helping. And Rihanna's gone, and that's not helping either, because she is brilliant at understanding how important the visuals are for the eras. And maybe eras themselves aren't as important now because you just keep releasing music. You know, Dua Lipa is sort of an interesting example, because I think maybe this is going off in a different world, but like the Barbie song coming so close to like the radical optimism era is just quite confusing for people, because she's like bright and pink and Barbie-ish, and then she's like indie and like whatever. And I think that's confusing. It's the gaps in between mean that even sort of eras are going, and then the visual language is not as defined, maybe.
Yes, I mean, one thing that I'm thinking of as you're speaking, just anecdotally from my own experience, is I'm overwhelmed all the time with music these days, like in a way that I did not used to feel. Like there's so much of it, and all of it, especially when you're dealing with major pop stars, is linked to so much extraneous shit. Like, I'm just thinking about the Tortured Poets Department. We just did a live show in New York last night dissecting this music. I mean, there's just, wow. Not only is there so much music all the time, and not only like that, I mean that in every way, not only is Taylor Swift's album 31 songs long, but every single major pop star appears to be releasing music at the same time. And even if you're not just listening to major pop stars, like plenty of ink has been spilled about just the sheer glut of music that gets put out all the time. And then you add on top of that, the just narrative discourse around all of the music that happens on social media all the fucking time on TikTok. Like, there's just so much to consume. It's not just like Janet Jackson putting out a record in 1993, and like, you have the music and you have the music videos and then you get the tour, and like, that's the story of the album.
And that campaign would be like 8 singles long.
Yes, exactly.
And so you would have time.
Yes, and you'd have time, and like, there's just less. In a way, we love streaming because it's opened the ecosystem up and more people have a chance and more people can break through and we have less gatekeepers, but there's also just so much to consume that one thing I find myself thinking about with music videos like is, dude, unless this feels like something I really need to watch, like, I'm not watching it. I don't care. Obviously, if Beyonce dropped music videos, that's something that would feel imperative.
Yeah.
But like, when Ariana and like, I really like Eternal Sunshine. I'm very into it. Like the album a lot. Listen to the songs a lot. Enjoying it a lot. If Ariana dropped a video for, I don't know, Supernatural tomorrow, I wouldn't necessarily like be running to my computer to watch it unless somebody said to me, oh my God, you got to see the Ariana video for Supernatural. You know what I mean? Like, unless something rose to that occasion. And that a part of that just has to do with exhaustion. Like, I just literally, like, how much bandwidth do I have to consume everything related to Ariana? Not just the music, but all the stories that are surrounding this music and all the narrative that's surrounding this music and all of that stuff. Like, it's exhausting. Like, there's almost like a glut of stuff, and it feels like if one thing's got to go, it's like, and let's just say also probably making an effective music video is hard. So unless the music video is truly, absolutely essential for some reason or another, like, why am I going, like, I feel personally like I don't have 4 minutes for that. You know what I mean? And like, that's just anecdotally with me. And I wonder if lots of people are sort of feeling that way, just kind of exhaustion, not just the attention span deficit, but just sheer exhaustion by the amount of pop culture that we are dealing with all the time.
Yeah. And with Ariana specifically, by the time that video came out, I'd seen the artwork. I'd seen bits of the video like floating around. I'd seen like the one bit that everyone's going to talk about on Twitter, you know, the fact she was wearing a hat that looked a bit like Keira Knightley from Love Actually. Yeah. You know, like all of these things, I could almost piece together the video in my head.
Right.
Having been on the internet for maybe 10 minutes and being on so I knew what the video sort of was, weirdly. And I think she's not necessarily an artist known for her spectacular, you know, she's not.
Yes. Right.
That artwork is not exactly like, wow, I'm plunged into this like visual world and I now need to sort of definitely watch the video because it's going to take me to a different headspace about it or whatever.
Well, it's interesting because both Ari and Taylor, like as two of like the main pop girls of the moment, have never really been particularly compelling visual artists to me.
Like Billie Eilish is a different one, but even she had sort of moved away from that weirdness with that second album, which was a little bit more sort of like retreating away from like being this huge megastar. And I feel like maybe this new album might be something a little bit more intriguing, and maybe we'll get like, you know, she's not releasing any singles beforehand, which I think is interesting because the way albums are now is that you'll if you're going to do 3 singles, they'll probably come before the album, and then the album campaign is sort of over outside of it just sort of living on streaming. You know, you don't labels aren't like, let's do a video for the 4th single and it's going to be, we're going to spend a lot of money, because there's not a huge amount of point unless you've got like a guest artist involved. So Billie Eilish is sort of the only one I think that I would be sort of intrigued, but in my head I'm thinking of first album stuff, and that was quite a while ago now. So you know, Lorde left that world too with that third album. It's been a time as well of lots of pop stars also slightly retreating from that big pop world because of
quiet quitting mainstream.
Yeah, and there's lots of valid reasons for that. You know, it must be bloody awful, but it doesn't make it fun necessarily for like a pop fan who is looking for a sort of huge visual pop moment. Like, I don't know, Gaga sort of with Chromatica, there were bits of that, but the first video was not great, and Rain On Me, you know, was great. So it's still a bit hit and miss, even with the big big guns, and the money is not always there, and you're having to like meme. The memification of everything is your, you know, that's being written into music videos, is like, what's the meme moment? Like, what's the moment that will be screen capped and have some funny caption on it that everyone can share? And then everyone's a bit like, oh, I've seen that video. And it's like, well, no, actually you haven't. You've seen five screen caps that someone's put on Twitter. And so I think it's like, again, it's not draw, it's weirdly meant to sort of make you want to watch the video, but I think sometimes it can make you feel like you've already seen it.
All right, so maybe as a way of like helping us understand like why the video is becoming an essential feeling in the current moment, maybe we can backpedal a little bit and just talk about how this came into form and like why it was essential. Like when the music video like first rose to prominence, let's say like in the early 1980s with the launch of MTV, and of course like Madonna and Michael being like primary makers of music videos, and Janet Jackson, a series of artists during this period who kind of like made the music video what it is today and made it important. Why was that so exciting and essential feeling in that moment, do you think? Like, how did the music video, I guess, for 30 years become so de rigueur for pop stars, do you think?
That was such a huge moment in the 80s with those pop stars, and it sort of cemented them as superstars in a completely new way and in a sort of like much bigger way. You were literally being beamed into people's homes rather than sort of just on the radio. Like people could connect what you look like with the song and what you wanted to sort of sing. And it was like fantasy as well, you know, like these are all sort of fantastical, ludicrous, properly pop moments that, and they wrote that sort of language of like the epic music video, the sort of 10-minute long short film that, you know, Michael Jackson called them short films on purpose because it was like directed by, you know, David Fincher and film directors. And so like it was this hugely important visual document. And again, you think of those songs and you think of those videos, the two are sort of completely entwined. And that's what happened in the 80s and 90s. Like I was really into MTV. I think we had MTV Europe, so they would just show everything from across Europe, but mainly they would show Remember the Time by Michael Jackson. I remember that just essentially being on a loop the entire time.
And in Egypt, of course, with like Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, and I would watch the whole thing every time. And you, it was exciting. I mean, again, it's just sort of nostalgia, but it was exciting to sort of have to sit in front of the screen to wait for the video to come back. You couldn't just pop it into your thing and be like, oh, I'm going to watch this now. Like, I know that, right. And it's much easier to do it now. But there was something exciting about that, and it cemented the music video. And I think for artists that grew up in the 80s who are sort of around now, like, and that I speak to, they are like, it's the pinnacle of being an artist. Mm. And being a musician is maybe not the pinnacle, but like it really cements you as an artist if you get to make a music video. Like making a music video hopefully is still like a real tangible sign of like being a musician or being a sort of artist in all forms, so that you can make this visual statement to your song. And I think that really continued through obviously into the 90s, you know. And again with like the Spice Girls Wannabe, it's not an expensive video, it's not a like high budget CGI video, it's just the perfect showcase for that band. Like that completely announced their arrival in a way that like the song did, but the two together was the reason that song was so massive. If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends, make it last forever, friendship never.
How good is this episode? It's good, right? Well, great news, because if you like what you're hearing here, you're going to love what we're doing over on our Patreon channel, Pop Pantheon All Access, where for $5 a month, you'll get bonus episodes of our show weekly. You heard that right. Every single week, we're dropping more of the same searing, in-depth convos you love about all your most anticipated new albums by stars like Ariana Grande, Dua Lipa, and Tate McRae, just to name a few, parsing apart all the newest pop singles in our famous new music speed rounds, and of course, diving deep on your favorite classic albums like Madonna's Hard Candy, Christina Aguilera's Stripped, and so much more, all with your favorite Pop Pantheon guests. All this, plus you'll get access to our Discord channel, input on future episodes of the show, and so much more. So sign up at the icon tier now at patreon.com/poppantheon, or simply by clicking the link in the show notes of this episode. You won't regret it.
what I loved about that period as well is like you sort of knew that a video was directed by Hype Williams. You knew that a video was directed by sort of Jonas Ackerlund, Mark Romanek, like Spike Jones, all these people. I would like actively search out what they were doing in the way that I would follow like Timbaland, you know, in terms of who he produced or whoever. I was like, I want to know what music videos these directors have done. And I'm sure that still happens now. It's obviously just fractured and splintered in a way because we get so many music videos are made for so many songs. But you had a sort of language of music videos, which I think people still reference now. Tate McRae has sort of made Britney videos in a way. I thought it was interesting, you know, her creative director was like, we make them for MTV. We make them for like an MTV that doesn't exist anymore, not for TikTok. These aren't supposed to be necessarily digested on TikTok in that way. So the language of those still lives on. It's just, is it just a sort of like throwback situation where we're all just referencing the visual time of like Hype Williams and those amazing R&B videos from like the 90s and noughties? I don't know what the new language of a music video is.
What's interesting also, as you're speaking, that I'm thinking about so much is, in addition to our sort of attention deficit economy, two things. One is we're in such a nostalgia loop right now in pop culture. Like, again, I think Billie Eilish kind of plays both sides of this and is maybe why she's an interesting visual artist in a time period where a lot of her contemporaries aren't, which is like, in some ways, she is a rare artist that feels kind of like idiosyncratically forward looking as a pop star, or has in the past, but then also at the same time feels like a classicist in many ways. And as she's leaned more heavily into her classicism, like her visuals have become less interesting in a sense. And I just keep thinking about how in the prime of my youth, the music video was tied to a lot of like forward thinking music. Like, I mean, whether you're thinking about Madonna's Vogue, or you're thinking about Remember the Time and New Jack Swing, or you're thinking about, you know, one really important music video artist to me growing up was Missy Elliott, who was a total futurist. Like, her music still to this day sounds like it was beamed in from the future, and her music videos spoke in kind to that. Like, they were incredibly inventive, like nothing like you'd ever seen before. She's a bitch. When you say my name, talk more junk, but won't look my way. She's a bitch. See, I got more cheese, so back on up. And then I'm just thinking about the music that's out there today from the major pop stars, and you've got Taylor making some version of the same music that she's been making over and over again for the last 10 years. You've got Ariana making 90s R&B throwback music. You've got, you know, Dua Lipa making like somewhat nondescript like dance pop, you know, Kylie-esque dance pop. Like, you don't, you're like, I feel like we're also a little bit like, there's a correspondence between sort of like our lack of new ideas in pop music aesthetics and the lack of excitement in pop music video aesthetics. And then the other thing that I was thinking a lot about when you were speaking just now is that I think one of the sort of like zeitgeist altering aspects of MTV and the advent of the music video, or the popularization of the music video through MTV, was, as you mentioned, turning pop stardom from a one sense experience through your ears into this 360 degree medium, where it was like, it was just as important that your song banged as it was that you like had a visual idea for it, how you looked, how you performed, what your star quality was like as told through this visual medium. And that was so revolutionary because it allowed pop stardom to become something greater than just like laying seven songs down on a record. It became something just like way grander and more all-encompassing. And one thing that I've been thinking about is like, you know, even up through, and like, to me, I see like the last great music video pop star is Lady Gaga to me. Like, that is the last great like artist who like utilized the music video in a completely essential way. Like, in a way where it was like, as you mentioned, those songs are those music videos. And like, she was, her visual style was almost like more important, I would say, than the music in that early era. Like, if not as important. Like, seeing her, I mean, I remember one of the sort of irritating narratives about Lady Gaga in the early part of her career were like, you know, she's so exciting visually and so inventive visually, and her music is like more generic than you might think if you looked at her, right? Like, that used to be like kind of a, not saying I necessarily subscribed to, but I think that was like kind of a churning narrative about her. But it spoke to how important that visual style was, because it was really that sort of like is what we like associate with her. Like, we think of that era of Gaga as just extravagant and over the top and completely bonkers in a way that like maybe the music was a little bit more structured and radio friendly than the looks of it all were. So the visual medium almost just like endures more heavily in the public imagination than the music,
yeah,
you know, itself. And I think one thing that I've been wondering about as you're speaking is the mediums through which we can consume artists visually in the post Lady Gaga emergence period is just like so manifold greater. Like, literally Lady Gaga arrives at the precipice of Instagram, and Katy Perry and all these people arrive at the precipice, as you were mentioning, you know, of us looking at pop stars all the fucking time in our phones. Like, we're seeing them posting from their beds. We're seeing, you know, everything from like the most like mundane aspects of their life to whatever sort of like visual they want to put across to us, just like on their Instagram feeds, on their TikTok feeds. And so as a result, we're not like running to a music video to like experience like the way that Ariana Grande is like presenting herself visually during a certain time period.
Like, we've already got like a sense of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I wonder if that's such an important part of it, is just that like our capacities to engage visually with pop stars is just like in all of these other spaces now. And thus, like, we're not like clamoring to see like what Lady Gaga's new looks are going to be in the music video, or like what Michael Jackson's new looks are going to be in the music video, or what Madonna outfits are going to be in the new music video, et cetera. We're also seeing their tours on TikTok. I mean, like, that's another thing. I mean, thinking about Beyonce, it's like she didn't release visuals, but whether you went to the Renaissance tour or not, you saw a very extravagant visual representation of what that album was supposed to look like, or what she sees that album as looking like through the tour itself.
Yeah, each outfit, each show, a new outfit, and you totally got what she was sort of going for. Yeah. We should like shout out The Weeknd. I know, obviously, we've been focusing so much on women, and I do only really listen to women.
I mean,
who doesn't? But The Weeknd, I think, is actually someone who does it really well. And actually, he would be someone that I would be like, oh, apparently, like, The Weeknd is just, because the eras of his albums feel interesting. And, you know, with the sort of bandages and the like narrative of that, I thought was really interesting. And itself felt like a sort of throwback to the 80s in a way, which obviously is reflected in the music. So he is someone that I would do that to, and it probably is because I'm not oversaturated with his visual stuff. Like, he's not sort of all the time on Instagram or on stories, or if he is, it's just like a picture of his mean looking dog or like something random, and you're like, okay, this is, I can handle that. So he is someone that I do sort of think needs a shout. But yes, I guess the point is that there isn't, like, you know, when sort of you're overly saturated with all this sort of visual stuff, you are just a bit, you know, suddenly YouTube, everyone's doing content, you know, so you were like, there was more visual stuff for you to look at and to sort of absorb of an artist without it being like, what do you want to show me in a video? It was like, what am I going to sort of watch of you just sort of sat backstage having to do something that your record label's telling you to do? And that sort of demystifies it in a way that I think is also a bit of a shame, and that also maybe takes away from the impact of wanting to see what they're doing in a video, because I sort of know so much about them now in a way that I didn't know about like megastars in the sort of 90s.
Is there, I mean, we touched on this a little bit, and again, when you're dealing with like maybe the tippy top of the pyramid pop stars like Taylor Swift or The Weeknd or Ariana Grande, maybe this isn't an issue, but for everybody else, and again, I guess this also gets into like the chicken or the egg conversation, but like the budgets, I mean, that's another part of this, right? I mean, like record labels are not forking over big budgets to make music videos. I mean, Lady Gaga's music videos were in part memorable because of how inventive they were and how inventive her ideas were with them, and her collaborators' ideas with them were, but also pretty much starting from, like, you know, I guess, you know, I would say like primarily from the paparazzi video, let's say, on, were like extraordinarily expensive affairs. And obviously all of Michael Jackson's videos were like multiple $1 million affairs, and Madonna's videos. So like, what role do you think that's playing in it? Because I mean, I'm apt to say like, yeah, that seems like an obvious reason why like music videos are less good than they used to be, is like there's not the same amount of money to put into them. But then on the flip side of that, I'm thinking to myself like, well, constraints are often a breeding ground for creativity, and yet so many so many memorable music videos have been kind of simple, like everything from, you know, even Dua Lipa's New Rules video, which was like a really important breakthrough moment from her, was like a pretty simple, probably inexpensive music video to make.
One, don't pick up the phone, you know he's only calling because he's drunk and alone. Two, kick him out again.
remember the video of like OK Go on the treadmills, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many memorable music videos that are like completely DIY.
I mean, Michel Gondry, that also feels like, exactly right, so it
feels like, yes, there's an element probably of like there being less money, so music videos are maybe like less extravagant than they used to be, but I still don't think that that accounts for like why we're not getting like more just kind of like crazy DIY, like weird music videos that could very much capture your attention, maybe even more so than an extravagant music video could at this time.
Yeah, and I do wonder if it sort of goes all the way back to like people not wanting, if you're sort of starting out as a director, or you're getting into sort of doing short form videos, are you going to go down the route of a music video where a record label is like, look, you're going to have to do 3 TikToks, some other content, and the music video, and it's like 30 grand, which is, you know, not a huge amount of money, but it's sort of doable. Or are you going to go down the advertising route where they actively are like, this can be quite out of the box, it can be interesting, we need this, you've got this amount of time, we have got a bit more money, we want, you know, more visual input, blah, 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 blah. Like, maybe it's sort of that as well. Like, how often can you give away your good ideas to someone who also wants you to sort of do 5 other things for a lot less than maybe you were making? Or, I mean, even talking to directors about like the pitching process and them not being paid for that, and it being like a very long process where you come up with this idea and you sort of pitch it in and you don't hear back, and then they pick someone else, and then that idea is sort of gone, or, you know, it seems like a very stressful situation if the end result is also not being looked at that much. And then the sort of feedback is it didn't do what we needed it to do, and actually there wasn't like a meme moment in it, and that's not entirely why you're doing this. And so I think there was a period where you saw a lot of really good directors heading off into advertising. You know, Megaforce, for example, made the MIA video and the Justice video and were sort of incredible, but, you know, they mainly do adverts now because, you know, they live online, but you can do a lot more with them potentially, and they do perhaps break through a bit more. You know, I've seen people share sort of incredible adverts more maybe than I have sort of incredible music videos in that way. So yeah, I think its budget is not always an issue. It obviously helps, but the ideas are sort of perhaps lacking, or the inspiration from the music,
right?
Like, whether it's a sort of, how many times can I sort of turn this generic-y pop song and artist into something golden? Harry Styles is someone who has made the video an interesting concept. And is that because he is an interesting artist himself, or is that because he is on a big label and the budgets are high? Like, that's a sort of interesting question. He does seem to be someone that is very interested in the visual culture and visual language and who he sort of is as an artist, and he wants to maybe push that envelope. But in order to sort of push it in that way, you do need the budgets, and they perhaps used to be there and now they're not, unless you are Harry Styles.
And I'm also interested in what you were saying, because we talked earlier about sort of like the limited bandwidth of us as consumers to watch these things. And what you're making me think of is like, in an era where record labels are saying like, not only do we need new music from you faster, not only do we need tons of new music from you in order to like service the streaming economy, et cetera, et cetera, but we also need TikToks and Instagrams and da-da-da-da-da, and you need to do a tour and you need to do this. And like, maybe a lot of this is just a function of like artist bandwidths, like creative bandwidths. Like, there just isn't necessarily the space there creatively, especially when the reward is not really there.
Yeah, and 4-day shoots become 1-day shoots because A, you're not really, you don't have the time probably, and B, the budgets are less and the record label are not necessarily going to put that. I mean, I'm not going to give away the details, but like, there is someone coming who used to be in a band, and it is like the opposite of that. It was a long shoot. The video is actively trying to be a sort of big choreo, wigs, all of that stuff, you know, and it was refreshing. It was sort of surprising to be like, someone understands how important this could be. And even that is probably a throwback to a period where that was happening. But I was sort of like, this is amazing. You know, it's a sort of big, ludicrous pop song with a big, ludicrous video. And I was like, that's ideal.
Wow, can't wait to see whatever that is. So, and thinking about that, just like zooming out again, you're a fan of music videos. I'm a fan of music videos when they're good.
Yeah.
What do we lose if we lose this? Like, what do you think we lose as pop fans, and what do pop stars lose as a medium to express pop stardom if we abandon the music video or the long form music video as we knew it, or if that just continues to recede? Like, what do you think we lose in this ecosystem?
I think pop becomes even more faceless than it is at the moment. I think streaming really introduced or sort of helped push this idea that you don't even need to know necessarily who the person is singing, because you're just consuming this, you know, algorithmic music, and it's being fed to you, and you might like a song, but I don't think you would necessarily know what the person looked like, or who, you know, even who they were or what their name was. And I think a music video can join those dots for a lot of people. Obviously, we sit on the internet and on forums, and we love pop music, so we're going to find that out. But it's not, a pop star is like a mainstream, you know, it's for everyone, or it should be. And I think those dots still need to be joined for a lot of people, and I think a video can help do that. But also, we're in a world where you would still have to actively go and search for that. So a casual listener used to be, you know, my mum would sort of by osmosis absorb all the pop music that I was into, because it would just be like in the house, on the radio, in the papers, everywhere you would look. And now I don't know that that happens as much. And I think if you lost the music video as well, it would be a sort of another element of that that had gone.
It's interesting in relation to what you're saying, is just like the video as a way to express personality in a format that can sometimes be constricting of that, like now and then. I mean, pop music is a really fascinating dichotomy between inventiveness of idiosyncrasy and then of like true structure, very defined format. And, you know, trying to balance those two things can be difficult. And when you do it well, that's usually like what makes a great pop star, is somebody that's making music that feels both familiar, accessible in some ways, not generic, but I guess familiar is the best word that I can think of, and also imbued with their unique point of view and personality and inventiveness. Like, that's really the line that they're walking. And in some ways, the music video, as we were sort of discussing with Lady Gaga, was a format in which you could lean heavier in some ways into that idiosyncrasy and inventiveness if you used it right. Like, it gave you a way to, maybe your record is Just Dance and it's a record that, like, you know, could have been sung by a number of stars ultimately, but like, you see her, you see what she's doing visually, how she's presenting the song, and all of a sudden she is one of a kind. There's nobody else that could do this. And so that's something that we're losing, that sort of avenue for individuality or individuation.
Yeah, like Paparazzi was the moment that I was like, oh, she's not just going to be around for two singles. And those videos, the first two videos, aren't exactly where she is. That's just what she needed to do to get, you have to get the label's attention when you're a new artist like that. And suddenly it was like, oh, here comes the money. Like, you know, there's money pouring into this now, and this is great. That's what a music video can do, is it can elevate you from one tier to like another. Or it used to be able to, you know, Lady Gaga in my head, and maybe in a lot of people's, went from one place to another with that video. And the performances around it, you know, that's what also we've lost in a way, is the sort of performance element.
Yeah,
because you could join, the dots were like completely joined up then. Like when she was swinging from a chandelier with like fake blood coming down her, singing that song, it totally made sense with the video. She was wearing a similar look, and it was all of a visual piece. And Katy Perry would do that a lot, and all, you know, Beyonce would sort of do that in her performances. And so that sort of disconnection has happened. And yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of Charlie XCX as well, because just purely because that video for Von Dutch is so good in my, you know, it's a sort of great concept. It's really well executed. It's sort of, you know, like spunky and like in your face and all of that sort of stuff, but it's just
funny.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, and it sort of recalls slightly like Smack My Bitch Up in terms of like the energy of it, but she's just not quite there to sort of break through completely. Charlie seems like someone on the cusp of like maybe a few years ago, or maybe like in an MTV generation, she would have had a moment where those videos would have elevated her up. But now it's like she's in her lane, and that's great. But it's the video isn't like going to elevate her. Love that.
Right. I mean, nothing, what can break through? I mean, if you're not Taylor Swift or Beyonce, it just feels like nothing can really grab people's attention visually or otherwise for more than like a week. It's just like, there's just too much going on. It's just too much going on.
And then even Beyonce, you know, the dialogue around that album has, it lasted, it was everywhere, and then it sort of fades away. And Taylor, for as big as this album is going to be, it's going to be a lot less than it would have been in terms of like controlling the conversation. Obviously, she's then bringing the Eras Tour to the UK, so it will carry on. It's interesting. Like, things don't hang around as much as they used to. The conversation moves so quickly that I don't know.
We're so tired.
Essentially, we're really tired. Yeah. I would love music videos to come back, but also, do I have the energy?
I mean, it's a really fair question. I guess, like, as we sort of round this out, you mention in the piece, there's a source that talks about how, like, it's much more difficult to create a visual world just using TikTok or social media. Like, it's a lot less of, like, an easy route to creating the visual element of music. Are there ways in which this is filling that vacuum? Like, is there a ways in which social media is stepping in to fill the vacuum of sort of visualizing an artist or visualizing a piece of music that feels commensurate with the music video, or is taking up any of that space, or is that just not possible in that format, do you think?
I think what it is good at doing, and I don't like that it does this, is that we're in a sort of more relatable pop star world.
Right.
Maybe even since sort of Adele and, you know, what Peter Robinson sort of called the new boring. Mm. You know, we are in a world of, like, the relatability is much more, and social media and these short things are so good at doing that. You know, Lewis Capaldi, for example, he was just one of many white men singing those kind of songs. And then as soon as someone saw him on social media being naturally very funny and sort of rude and, like, topless and just being, like, you know, in his hotel, like, looking at how ridiculous his life had become, was when his sort of career sort of took off in a different way, and people took him to their hearts, and, you know, the general public really got on board. And so I think it is really good at doing that. But obviously, he's not, like, a sort of huge visual pop star, you know, and a lot of pop stars now have realized, Ariana, for example, is sort of like stepping away from Twitter, where she used to be very good, and Rihanna doesn't do the sort of Twitter thing anymore. So even the personality side of it is sort of waning. And so actually all you're left with are these very sort of stylized short videos, usually just advertising, like, someone's makeup range or film that they're in. You know, like, most of what I see from pop stars is not even about pop music. It's about, you know, Troye Sivan advertising, like, that new bowl that he's got that has no bottom. Have you seen that?
That was a good music video, actually. Now that you're there. The Rush music video was one of the most recent music videos that I actually
wanted to put that in the piece, but the guy got back to me too late. But, like, he has, you know, those videos have cemented him as where he is.
Not for nothing, we're talking about two gay men are the only two artists that feel like they've made, like, essential feeling music videos in the pop space. Like, I mean, and Charlie XCX, so three gay men are the only artists that are out here, like making this genre feel vital in the current moment.
And so, yeah, I think social media has its place. If you can remember a sort of good short form video, then great, but, like, I don't want to live in that world.
As, like, a final question, are you hopeful that there will be a revitalization of this at some point? I mean, are you feeling like we're in a death spiral, and, like, we could be 5-10 years down the road and artists just are very rarely making music videos? Or do you think that there is a possibility that, I don't know, something comes around, some sort of format comes around, or an artist or a cohort of artists comes around that sort of reimagines how to make this vital again and sort of reinvigorates it? Like, is that possible to you, or do you feel like we're heading towards some sort of, you know, end point for this?
Apocalypse. Well, we are headed towards
music video apocalypse. We're heading towards many apocalypse.
Yes. This is just part of that. I think obviously what's happened within labels is already their sort of understanding of what they are has been recalibrated. You know, if Taylor Swift can only just make it to 200 million, I think everyone's sort of reassessing what the music video can do. I don't think it's going to go in the sort of short term, because I do think that from speaking to these people, that artists do really want to still make them. I think maybe the focus will be on, like, one video, the key single will have more money spent on it, more time, conceptually more sort of interesting. I think the Lil Nas X thing has shown that you can't just rely on sort of controversy. I think people are more savvy to that now, so that's not really an angle to go down either. I think something like that's like a balance of, like, who you are and what you want to say, but not just trying to sort of get people upset, because there's too much going on for people to be focused on Lil Nas X.
We have real problems.
Yeah, like sometimes you are like, you know, this music video, is it like an escape from what's going on, which I quite like, or is it actually just giving us another thing to argue about on Twitter, which I don't want to do that anymore. You know, like it's exhausting. So actually, like, can a music video just be like a brilliant sort of 5 minute or 4 minute escape into some fantasia land of like, what the hell is going on? I hope that there's more of that. And maybe there's more of that underneath the pop world, the peak pop world. Maybe we have to sort of just live in this Taylor Swift era for a bit longer, where she is the sort of reigning queen, with Beyonce not sort of engaging in the visual thing. We might not sort of, and Rihanna sort of semi-retired, we might not have a choice at the moment. But hopefully if they, you know, pull their fingers out and get back to doing it, you know, I know we're all busy people, but at the same time, come on, guys. You know, Weeknd, just The Weeknd, you know, like if this is going to be his final sort of trilogy, final part of this trilogy, and he's going to retire The Weeknd as a thing, like I'm excited about what that might involve visually.
That sounds about right to me. The only thing I will add is that I have not given out hope that Beyonce is going to release some sort of... My new theory is that there's some sort of completist film that's coming out related to the entire trilogy of some sort. That's my new theory that I'm
Once the third one comes out, which would reimagine
imagine the visual album format as she has done numerous times in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I thought it was so interesting when, like, even Formation was, like, unlisted on YouTube for the longest time. And I was like, this is someone that just is sort of disengaging with the typical way of, like, doing videos. It was even when, like, lyric videos first came out, I was like, oh, this is the first sign of a step away from, like, even having to do a music video. And also, like, what is a single, I think, really became a thing. That was what I was going to talk about earlier. It's like, what is a single? You were so defined before.
Right,
it was
you waited
6 weeks and there would be another Michael Jackson video because there would be another single. And now... it's like there's a video for this track, but actually that's not the single, and then everyone needs to come over here that's and so watch true. This one. And that's exhausting to anyone that doesn't constantly live in the music industry.
So final question, because we can't do this visually because this is not a visual medium. This is an audio medium. So everyone's going to have to just like, actually this will speak to the power of music video. Is there a music video that you just love that's just emblematic of the power of how great a music video can be? We'll play the song as we go out, but just something that just like stands out to you personally as just like, when I hear this song, it is the music video to me in my head.
The one that comes to me is Madonna's Rain video. That was on MTV all the time, and it would just like completely shift from what had happened before or after. Like all the others were really like MTV cuts and like wah, like mad, and then that video would just appear and I would be like, this is so beautiful. And it's Mark Romanek, isn't it? And someone on his, I've got like the DVD of his videos, and someone said like each shot of his, if you took like a screenshot, would be like a beautiful picture. And I always think of that when I watch that video, because it's so true. You are just like, that's beautiful. So that video helped me like love that song even more.
Oh my god, I totally tangentially, her closing the main part of the tour with that song was like one of the best moments of my life, because
I didn't think she would do that.
I love that. I love that music video. So that's just a great, I'm so glad you picked Madonna, because I don't know if there's any artist that represents the power of the music video and how great music videos can be when they're great better than Madonna does. So I think we should go out on Madonna's Rain from Erotica. Michael Craig, thank you so much for doing
this. Thank you for asking me. It was really fun.